We kick off hour number two. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com as they celebrate 85 years right here in East Tennessee. They've got over 20 branches, and they're ready to help you for the month of May. It's all about home loans. And if you've been in the real estate market, you know it is hopping right now. So if you need pre-approval, if you need to go in and kind of get that done before you start shopping, or if you're about to try and put an offer in, go ahead and check them out online at tvacreditunion.com or walk into any branch. They will help you become a member very easily. It only takes $5. Put that in a membership account, and you're all set to receive all the services that the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union offers as they help their members grow financially, moving upward and forward with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Billy mentioned during the break, we haven't talked about Grant yet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
The lottery pick.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Grant's the exact opposite of Bone, right? On the short, like, five-person.
It's actually uncanny how they're the exact opposite person, really.
Yeah. They are.
I mean, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just kind of amazed that I hadn't come up with that already. You've got the dynamic athlete, good basketball player, not an elite scorer, and then the guy who is an elite scorer, not a dynamic athlete, and it's almost like you don't even understand how he is so productive.
Too short, too slow. He doesn't have long arms for his height. I guess that's
an advantage. We did know that.
But, you know, you look at the leaders of all the different categories, top five, you don't see Grant Williams anywhere. But what really stood out to me is a clip as Jay Billis was talking to one of the decision makers, and he said Sam Perkins, long time. I mean, I remember him getting older and stepping out and bombing threes as a power forward. Sam Perkins, who now was one of the coaches for one of the scrimmage teams, Grant Williams' scrimmage team, I guess, said that as soon as the teams were, like, assembled and the guys start, like, kind of huddling up, Grant is already going around to every single player, pointing out their strengths and how they can play as a team so that every player's strengths will be on display for the scouts during the scrimmage. He's already basically coaching his pickup scrimmage team.
Now, this is not surprising.
So that all the guys can look as good as possible during their scrimmage. And Grant's stat line for the scrimmage doesn't look that great.
No, it does not.
But Billy, who watched it, said he
played better than
looked amazing. He was playing team basketball. He was screening for everyone. He was moving. He did fill up some of the hustle stats in those categories.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't shoot very well.
Yeah, he knew when to set a screen, where to set a screen. He knew when to, I guess, take himself out of the play to stretch the floor, play defense well. He passed the ball better than anyone else on the team. I know he only had one assist, but a couple of times it looked like he was passing the ball to John Fulkerson, and they just, like, fumbled the ball out of bounds because they weren't expecting the pass to get there. That's how good it was. It looked like he understood the game better than anyone else on his team.
Not surprising.
No.
But as you mentioned, he did go 0-for-5 from the 3-point line. And a couple of those weren't even close to the line.
To the NBA line.
Yeah, like he was at least 2 feet behind it.
Just bombing from out there. Just want to show people he's got the motion to get it there, I guess.
Why he was taking that shot.
I don't know.
Just, I mean, other than to prove he can hit it, but
if you
don't hit it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was
not knocking him. It's just that's not his game.
Yeah, I mean, it almost looked like a couple times he got it on, the free throw line extended 10 feet out, whatever. And that's like his go-to play, his go-to move, a little spin move. It's almost like he was anticipating the double team because he saw it so much last year that he just was like, oh, I'm so open. Like, I don't even know what to do right now.
It's amazing to only have one defender on me. This is great.
He even missed. He was 1 of 2 from the line. He did have 4 steals and 3 blocks.
Like,
that's pretty wild in 28 minutes.
Those are the heady basketball stats in a pickup game like this. Like, that's four steals, that's, yeah, maybe it was some sloppy play, but he's also just crafty.
One dude tried to dunk on Williams on a fast break, and he said, no, sir.
Just foul the crap out of him?
No, he, blocked it.
Blocked the hell out of
it. Okay, he didn't swat
Listen here, negative Nate.
I was just asking. I mean, usually
you don't say he said no, sir.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't. Not on a foul. That's a block.
Okay.
No, sir, is get that out of here.
All right. A lot of times when you say
negative.
A guy was going to try and dunk on somebody, and they're like, no, there's no way that's going to happen.
Right.
It's because you just went ahead and just fouled the crap out of them.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to get dunked on is different than no, sir.
Well, I couldn't say.
And the emphasis.
I couldn't say get that out of here because.
You can. You just can't say get that out of here.
He, blocked it up in the air. So it wasn't like a swat.
So it stayed in bounds?
Even smarter. Tim Duncan blocked.
Yeah.
It went out of bounds.
Oh.
But he had a chance to say it.
I'm guessing Grant's team lost also. They have a lot of minuses on their list.
Man, you were just looking for the negatives, huh?
No.
This team lost too, huh? Boom, why didn't we get more on them?
It's asking the right questions.
Are you?
Yes.
I don't think so. I don't think you're asking the right questions at all. What does it matter if their team won or not?
That doesn't.
Okay, then that was the question you just asked, and you just said you're asking the right questions, and if that question doesn't matter, then why did you ask it?
You mumbled a separate line of thinking and then said that. I was going back to that. The right question is,
I think you're really wanting this to be the right question, and I'm not sure it's the right question.
The right question is, what is these guys going into the NBA and how good or not good they are in certain areas mean about Tennessee basketball moving forward and how good or how bad they're going to be with other players?
I don't think that's the original question you were trying to ask. I think you've now pivoted to a different question. I think your original question is, did Rick Barnes mismanage the roster and not get out of it what he could have gotten out of it?
I think that's okay. That's probably a better question. Thanks,
okay.
Thanks for helping me get there.
Okay, well, to your antithesis here, they didn't ball out in the actual basketball game.
It's true.
Like, it's not like Bone went out and dropped 30.
Right.
So I don't know how we can say, oh, these guys are just so much better than they were here under Rick Barnes. Oh, like they played worse in the scrimmage than they played under Rick Barnes.
Like, fair enough.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, it feels like you're kind of waiting around to, like, stick the pitchfork in Rick Barnes. But I don't know that good combine numbers from Jordan Bone are the ammo that you need to do that.
That's fair.
And if in 3 years he develops into a good NBA player, I don't know that that's fair either. It's a little different when you can spend every waking hour of your day honing in on your craft. So you expect them to be better in 2 or 3 years than they were in college. Maybe not statistically, because obviously the talent around them on offense and defense, but I'm just... Feels like you've got the chamber loaded and you're waiting for old Rick. I think you're upset with Rick still for the UCLA thing. I think you need to just let that one go.
No, I mean, it has nothing to do with UCLA. It has to do with the fact of what Steve said, that like you feel like you had a special group of players and you did not get as much out of them as you can.
Are we sure though?
Oh yeah, sorry, Roscoe's right. It was Kendrick Perkins, not Sam Perkins, but
Kendrick Perkins, that makes it even better. I love Kendrick Perkins. He's terrifying.
Can we say what were you saying before that, before I corrected my Perkins mistake?
I don't know. It's just weird to me that we...
Yeah, if you want me to admit that, yes, I'm still bothered by the fact that this team didn't win more championship-level type of stuff, yes, absolutely. I think you're also correct that the combine doesn't really speak to that necessarily. So I'll agree with you, and I'll admit that I'm still bummed out that this team didn't
win
more.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're always, if you don't win the whole thing, you're always bummed out that your team didn't win more. But, I mean, it's funny to me how we go from amazing job Rick Barnes developing three-star talent to get a team to number one, to get the most wins in the regular season in school history, great job, and then immediately we switched that to, but we didn't get enough out of them.
It's because it's because of the lack of tournament success.
I mean, I understand that, but like again, only one team wins the whole thing, and Virginia was very, very good, and you lost to Purdue in overtime, who should have beaten Virginia. Like, you were right there. You just ran into some good teams. Like, Purdue is good. They had Virginia beat. Virginia won the national championship. I realize it stinks that you didn't beat Purdue, but you were a butt foul away from beating Purdue.
I think we have to look at the whole thing, though. Like, you were a couple shots away from losing to Colgate. Like, you were way up. You were so much better than Iowa, you're just destroying them. And then you let them come all the way back. There's just weird oddities in there that don't make a whole lot of sense. So,
and I think outside of Virginia, though, you could probably point to every team. I mean, you think North Carolina's happy with the way they went out?
No.
Okay. And I'm not saying let's not be disappointed, because, yeah, I to my own point, I guess, devil's advocate to myself, as John Reed would say, it is frustrating because you are one shot away from beating Purdue, who should have beat Virginia, and that could have been you. And then you could take Virginia's spot, and it's you playing for a national championship. I totally get that. I mean, but I think we also need to realize that once you get to the Sweet 16, all the teams are really good, and it is a knife edge in some of these games as far as do you win or do you lose. I mean, Tennessee was down pretty big against Purdue and came back to even get that game into OT.
Yeah, and you can look at that both ways, right?
Can say that's all I'm saying.
It was crappy coaching to get down to Purdue that much. It was great coaching to come back.
And that's all I'm saying.
You can say it was great coaching to get way up on Iowa and crappy coaching to allow them to come all the way back and force overtime.
You could have lost that game.
But when you're a 3 seed 1 year and you get bounced by the 11 and you don't
make to a Final Four
and you don't make the Sweet 16 then, and you're a 2 seed and you can't make the Elite Eight and you almost lose the two earlier games, it's just frustrating, especially when you know that this year's team might overachieve
and be a 6 seed,
but they're not going to be as good as they were last year.
Well, and you got to think, we can talk about the schedule all day, but they were ranked number one for 6 weeks out of the entire year
in the weak part of the schedule, but
and they won 31, I mean, you know, 31 games.
Either tied it or broke the record for most wins in a season.
So I think that makes it hurt even more.
Yeah, and I realize that we want more because we talked about it all season. Like, this might be one of the best teams you've ever had in the history of Tennessee basketball. Well, they went as far in the NCAA tournament as every team save one. They played for the SEC tournament championship. They got housed by Auburn because they had beat Kentucky the day before. Like, I don't, like, it's like every time we have a negative, I just don't want to forget the positives.
This was a fun year, man.
This was a good team, and I don't want to sit here and just bash Rick Barnes and say what a horrible year. Why didn't we win more? I mean, it was still a really good year. I mean, Virginia got beat by Duke twice and wins a national title. Like, it's basketball. Like, matchups, weird nights, fatigue, butt fouls in the corner that shouldn't be a foul. Like, there's a lot of weird things that happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's things you can point to in the regular season that are really awesome and incredible. And then
the double dribble Virginia had against Auburn, you don't think Auburn's disappointed?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then there's, you know, games like the LSU game where it's like, yeah, I know the schedule sucks if that was on the road. If that's at home, you feel like it's completely different.
Sure.
But, I mean, they're missing one of their best players, and you can't beat them, and you pull a terrible shot. Like, you mismanaged the end of that game.
Well, that's why he wants to be able to call timeouts from the bench now. Smart.
That's why it frustrates me.
That's fair, and I get it. I totally understand.
Ways. And Billy's a little right. The success they had makes it more frustrating, but that doesn't make me more negative on Rick Barnes. Like, I give him credit for putting Tennessee in those positions. That's a positive for Rick Barnes. That's a big positive,
right?
A huge positive. A lot of lesser coaches would have just had these three-star guys and just been on the bubble this year, been a 9 seed, and maybe won one game. That 100% could have happened with a lot of lesser coaches.
Mm-hmm.
He did a phenomenal job of taking this group of players and getting the most out of lots of different areas. Then it just makes you more into how high you can go, and so you do start finding negatives at that point.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a blessing and a curse of being a better basketball team. But don't ever hear me say that I'm not happy being a better basketball team. obviously. Mm. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. If you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. 865-546-8200. What do you think about these guys, the NBA Combine, and what does it mean moving forward for Rick Barnes and Tennessee basketball? You can tweet us, as always, at Fox Sports Knox as well. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Just saw a tweet from TVA Credit Union. A big shout-out to our Halls branch for honoring area law enforcement yesterday with their officer drive-through lunch. That's pretty cool. So grateful to be part of this community and opportunities to give back. Huh. And then one of your favorite phrases, Houston. Hashtag people helping people.
People helping people. Checking boxes.
There you go. Check. We've all up. Talking Tennessee basketball. Love to hear from you at Fox Sports Knox. Does the success or failure of college players into the professional ranks really impact your opinion at all? I mean, obviously, Alvin Kamara is the extreme example with how you feel about Butch Jones and how he managed the roster. I mean, imagine a guy not starting in any sport, really, and then being rookie of the year at the next level up.
Yeah.
Like, imagine a high schooler.
He started a couple.
Not starting.
Due to injury.
And then being, like, even freshman of the year in college. For all of college football or basketball or whatever. Anything. I mean, that's nuts.
JT Shrout. Didn't Matt Leinart not play
in high school?
Wasn't that it? He, like, did.
There was somebody that went to Southern Cal like that.
Yeah, I can't. It might not have been him.
But they were a backup. Haven't the Patriots taken a late round NFL draft flyer on some guys that didn't start in college?
Yeah, I think so.
At quarterback. I'm not sure if we mentioned this earlier. No, we did. We talked about this on the show. But Pat Forty, I got to the bottom of it, Billy. Pat Forty is such a moron in this situation that he pulled the list of heights without shoes and compared them to the list of heights that colleges put out, obviously with shoes.
So he didn't do his homework.
So he's just an idiot. Yeah,
try to take shots at Tennessee.
Yeah, right? Hate to see it.
He tried to take shots at Tennessee and some other, you know, and Cam Reddish of Duke, PJ Washington of Kentucky, Kyle Guy of Virginia. I mean, like, what the hell, dude?
So he's mad that schools measure athletes in shoes?
Right. Well, the NBA gives you both,
right.
But apparently their initial printout didn't say which
Pat
one it 40, was.
Moron.
Doesn't even
stunner,
know how the NBA Combine works.
Stunner. Kid can't even read. Gosh. Come on.
Yep.
So unsurprising.
In unbreaking news, Pat Forty still an idiot.
In the consistent news of the last 5 years.
Let's go to the phone lines. 865-546-8200, if you dare to follow up this call from Rod. What's up, Rod?
Hello! How are you doing this morning?
It's Friday, Rod. I'm doing great.
Not as good as Jordan Bone, but I'm doing pretty good.
I'll tell you this. Houston, I'm sorry. Or Nate, I'm sorry that you couldn't get things worked out with my agent. You had to get a different show, and you had to pass up on It's Mandatory. Yeah. It's a shame.
Rod and Reel.
But I promise I'll keep making cameos here on your show, even though you didn't get me on the big time.
Appreciate that, Rod.
Now, listen, I was talking to Gary last night. And he's all, now, he is on a little bit of drugs because he's had the hip surgery, so he's been out all week. But I told you now, he's had this little Hispanic lady who works down there for him. I think her name is Juanita. And he's had her do some investigating, and I got some reporting for you, and I feel pretty good about it, but you can't ever be 100%, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So from the scuttlebutt that this is directly from the horse's mouth is that Grant, there's a good chance, this is good news for us, that he's coming back.
Ooh,
what? That's the word that I'm hearing. It's that he's talked to some very influential people who's playing in the NBAs, and that they told him, and I mentioned a little bit of this the other day, and they told him that, that if they would have come back to their senior year, they would have been a lot better off when by the time they got to the NBA. And Billy, he's talking about money on Wednesday, but it ain't just money that, that the concern is. It's the fact that, them, you know, when you get that highly drafted stock, that they're going to put a lot more into you and give you a lot more trust and a lot more leeway on the floor and stuff like that rather than being a, you know, pick in the 20s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big thing. That's a big thing for him. And, you know, unless he just tears it up today, there's a good chance he's coming back.
Hmm.
That's from the horse's mouth. But now, Bone, on the other hand, from what I've understood, ain't no shot. He's done some things that there's no way that, that even if he wanted to, that he's going to be able to come back.
Whoa.
Oh, he burned it down on the way out, did he?
Well, not necessarily. I'm not saying like as a teammate or as a, you know, with the coaches or anything.
Academically, perhaps?
Or maybe the way that he's kind of trying to obtain this NBA goal. It's just not been the wisest, and I just don't know that he'll be able to come back. That's just what I'm hearing, boys. And I hope that they both come back. You know, but there is a little bit. I think Nate may have said this yesterday, or maybe it was Wednesday. That, you know, for somebody like Bone, if he's really not coming back, man, I hope he gets drafted as high as he possibly can.
Yeah.
You know, I want the best for these boys. And I love them so much, and I love yous. But I'll be back in touch Monday, hopefully. Do we know if Grant announcing that decision on Saturday? Do we know that? I haven't heard that. I just know what I heard he's leaning towards. But do we know if he's announcing that on Saturday?
I don't know if he's announcing it, Rod. He said he's making the decision Saturday.
All right, boys. Well, so I hope that we got some goodness back in ours next year. Love yous. And Nate, if you decide that you want to go back and sign on for It's Mandatory or even the Rod Real Hour, you just let me know, buddy. All right, love you.
Will do, Rod. Will do.
Rod and Real Hour.
Keep show prepping those. You never know when your number might get called. We might go to the bullpen.
Leaning towards coming back?
Holy moly. We got Mitchell on the line. He wants to weigh in on Grant Williams as well. What's up, Mitchell?
That would be something.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Morning, Mitchell.
So did the last caller say that he feels like Grant is leaning towards coming back?
He said it was from the horse's mouth.
Huh. I don't know. From the beginning, I've always felt that he was gone. I mean, I called in about a month ago and told you guys that. So I would be shocked. I'm totally fine with him coming back.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Tennessee will be better next year if Grant Williams returns.
That makes sense.
Better with than without IMO, JMO.
But I just don't know. But when I see him play, I just see him as a plug-and-play glue guy. And
yeah.
The stretch four, he can guard multiple positions. Do you guys, he's been retired for a few years, but do you remember Boris Diaw? Played for the Spurs.
Yeah.
I see a lot of Boris Diaw in Grant. I do see some P.J. Tucker, if he can be that elite of a defender. And I think he's got the potential to be a starting four and a backup center because the NBA, you've got to guard multiple positions. Teams are getting smaller, faster. If he can guard a five, stretch the floor, I'd going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, I think he can. I like, you know, you said kind of the backup five. I think he can do that depending on the five, right? I mean, I think it's all matchup dependent and, you know, there are some teams, yeah, he can definitely guard the four and probably guard the three. It's the NBA. It's all about matchups.
Right.
But yeah, I think he has that ability.
Getting positionless.
Sure, yeah.
And I look at one mock draft site and that's it just because I don't like slideshows and all the different opinions.
Don't blame
you. Ads and sliding through. I just use Tankathon, and it's just clear cut right there. It's got their board. You can sim the lottery before all this just happened. a lot of stuff. You can compare players. So just compare, like, how Grant matches up against Rui Hachimura or P.J. Washington, Zion, see how their stats are. And then they've got a lot of, like, advanced stats and projected NBA stats and their weaknesses and strengths. So I just look at Tankathon, and actually, luckily right now, Tankathon has Grant going to the Jazz, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
You would be
Mitchell's the Jazz.
He'd be
camera.
Oh yeah, I know. I just didn't know it had him. I hadn't seen him mock to the Jazz yet. That'd be a big get for Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah, I listened to a podcast of the Jazz broadcaster, and he mentioned Grant Williams yesterday, that he saw him in a mock draft, and just said he doesn't know much about any of the college players just because he's so wrapped up in the NBA, and just said he's a big boy.
That's
what he said.
I think it's a fair way to put it.
Yeah.
But and then with Bone, if he doesn't get drafted, I still think he gets either a camp invite or a two-way contract. I don't know. But with those combine numbers, you never know. It just takes one team to fall in love with you.
It's true. Absolutely true. Thanks for the call, Mitchell.
No problem.
Yeah.
That's my question, right? Obviously, based on, you know, kind of pre-combine talk, Bone was not certainly not a consistent top 60 guy. And now, I think I said this earlier, but to Mitchell's point, who sees those numbers and just falls in love and says, you know what, this is a second-round guy for us?
Yeah, take a shot. I mean, isn't that what you want in the second-round pick? A guy that might become so much better than
and
a second round pick.
Well, and that's what makes it strange for me is you know, typically I would think that teams in the playoffs now, most of them pretty set at point guard. So does he go up even higher now? Are we talking like maybe an early to mid second round pick?
Was it John Reed the other day I was listening to who said a lot of these good teams in the late second round will pick a European player so they don't have to count him against their cap because they don't. It's something about they'll pick a guy overseas that'll never like make it over here so that they don't even have to deal with his contract or something. I don't
really?
Know. Yeah, it was weird. It was almost like it's a way to not use your draft pick because it helps your salary cap. So I don't know. Maybe we can look more into that as the NBA draft approaches.
Are the numbers set? Like the money amount, depending on where you go,
I thought the NBA was the first ones to kind of do that.
That's what I thought,
too. And then the NFL kind of copied them because that worked. Like, I'm much more familiar with the NFL process, of course, and teams every year fall in love with the guy that flashed in college but wasn't consistently, like, you know, a stud and then puts up huge workout numbers.
Right.
So that's kind of where Jordan Bone is right now. He flashed his final year in college. And then puts up the huge workout numbers, and somebody will say, you know what? Instead of taking the guy who we kind of know we're going to get and has a ceiling, I can get that guy in the free agent market pretty easily. I'll take a shot on a kid who we know is fast enough, who we know can jump high enough, who we know's super athletic, and maybe we can teach him to play basketball a little better. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Appreciate you joining us for this Friday edition of the program alongside Billy Williford and Houston Kress. I'm Nate Hodges. Talking Tennessee basketball, the NBA Combine, kind of what it means for these players, and then what it means for Tennessee basketball. If you want to weigh in on any portion of the program, you can give us a shout, 865-546-8200. It's 865-546-8200. And before I forget, Rod brought up a good point. He said, you know, I'd spurned him over his new show ideas, It's Mandatory, and Rod and Real, which will be pretty good. We did announce yesterday special programming announcement for you that starting on May the 28th, that's the Tuesday after Memorial Day, The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orick will make its debut and then air weekdays right here on Fan Run Radio from 12 until noon. As you know, Talk Sports is moving from its current 10 to 1 time slot back to noon to 3. So that obviously opened up a hole in the lineup from 10 until noon. And the Blitz will air those 2 hours. It's Rick Butler, Chance Collins, Brandon Orick. And, of course, a lot of people had questions about Trey Wallace and Chance Collins. Trey is joining the drive from 3 to 6 with Russell. And Chance will be one of our three featured co-hosts on the Blitz alongside Brandon Orick and Rick Butler. So that show, look for it coming May the 28th. That'll actually be when all these changes go into effect. So Trey Wallace to the drive, Talk Sports back noon to 3, and the Blitz makes its debut from 10 until noon as we continue to bring you 13 hours of local sports talk each and every weekday. And because we have less commercials, we lead this market with more local sports talk than any other station. And we appreciate you making our family-owned business be able to rival the corporate giants in the industry right here in the Knoxville market. So a hat tip to all of you that listen, to all of you that support our sponsors and make our jobs possible here at Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. So we talked mostly about Bone. We're talking more about Grant now. Rod, I never know exactly how serious to take his inside information from.
I think the info is Billy? As serious is that, as is that it can
guy?
Be.
Who was this guy?
Gary.
Gary, that's right. Yeah. Gary over there.
Yeah. And Juanita.
Right.
He said it, not me. Juanita.
We haven't mentioned that Bone said, they said, when are you deciding? And he said, May 29th. May 29th is the last day you can decide. So that was kind of funny.
But it's really not.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, it's the last day you can decide
to sit through the draft or not.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he could decide again if he's not drafted.
Right, correct. So it's weird to me that he said that's going to be the day I decide.
Well, you have to make a decision that day, a decision about being in or out completely. And
I figured
another
decision was made. I figured this is going to be I'm going to sit through draft night no matter what and see what happens, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to come back. Grant, on the other hand, has to make a decision before then, because if he sits through draft night, he is getting drafted.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
It is. It's completely two different situations, for sure.
Well, what did Grant do, like, running and athletic-wise?
I mean, comparatively. I couldn't find him in any of the leader sections.
Gotcha.
I'll
just curious. I wasn't trying to throw shade. I was just...
Lane agility time... He came in at 10.83. Shuttle run, 3.27. And then three-quarter sprint.
I feel like that's a pretty good shuttle.
3.3.
I feel like none of those are bad.
He was fifth out of the forwards at lane agility with his 10.83. That's his only... top five that I see here.
Okay.
Even in forwards. And the Bone numbers we read were out of everybody.
Yeah.
Of course, he's a guard, so, I mean, obviously, they're going to have an advantage on those. Admiral Schofield, who we've completely glossed over.
What, did he test yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was number one in the shuttle for forwards, 2.87.
My man.
Fourth overall.
And that's a big deal because a lot of people are, the question for Admiral is, can he guard wings? Because obviously he can play offense at the wing. He has that range from a shooting standpoint to scoring. So if he can guard that position, then his stock goes up even higher. But for Grant, yeah, I mean, he didn't test well. Shocker. I mean, that's less surprising than Bone blowing it out of the water. I mean.
Yeah, no one expected that from Grant.
I mean, if they could test your ability to make shots in contorted body positions, then he'd be number
one. Don't know how you set up a drill for that one.
Right.
Just saying.
Right.
That's a check the tape stat.
Yeah. Maybe like a bunch of pool noodles, and it's like, see if you can score around these without touching. Kind of like that old Entrapment movie, maybe lasers. You got to score without tripping the laser.
Lasers.
Yeah. Get this shot off without tripping a laser.
That's what we need. Lasers.
They do have the on-the-move 15-foot shooting percentage. They do NBA top-of-the-key shooting percentage. They do NBA break right shooting percentage, corner left shooting percentage, and then, of course, all the inverses of all these. So that's kind of funny.
Huh.
None of our Tennessee guys that really did well in the shooting.
Well, have they? I didn't see anyone in the spot up shooting, so I don't know if they've done it yet.
Oh, okay. So maybe there is a flip flop there that we haven't seen yet. And as Billy mentioned earlier, like Admiral hasn't scrimmaged yet, so that should happen today. Is it going to be back on ESPN again? ESPN 2 today again?
ESPN 2, 3 to 7.
3 to 7. There you go. Check out Admiral Schofield.
Okay.
He looked good when he was getting up shots from the corner. He missed like two out of like 12 or 14 that I saw. I was like, is he going to miss? Looked like Admiral Schofield versus Gonzaga.
Mm. Did he bank him in?
Those were the days.
Well, not from the corner, but...
That'd be something.
You said that like it's impossible, but au contraire.
Who was it you said?
Scottie Pippen.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Duncan, too. I feel like he was masterful at that.
Had to be.
The bank was always open for the Demon Deacon. Tim Duncan.
Stunning. Still just cannot get over Bones' testing numbers. I mean, I knew they'd be good. I didn't think he'd win everything.
All right, well, put your prediction on. You think he gets drafted?
Man, it's hard to say no right now. It's hard to say that there's not going to be one team in the second round that thinks, this guy, look how much better he got between sophomore year and junior year. Look at his numbers. Look how fast he is. Can we fix the shot a little bit? And if so, might be worth it.
So Mitchell mentioned Tankathon. Tankathon, yeah. It was updated 11 hours ago. They obviously have Grant and Schofield getting drafted, but the 60th player is Jared Harper. So do you take him over Jordan Bone?
It depends on what you want. Like, if you want a more game-ready scorer, then yeah.
I mean, Harper was incredible for Auburn.
Well, that's your last player getting drafted right now from Tankathon.
I mean, that is the question, though. I mean, Harper, that's the question, can all this testing...
And I guess this takes into account all of the testing, so they still – it wasn't enough in the eyes of Tankathon to move up Jordan Bone, but it's just hard. We know scouts and GMs and all, they love these numbers. They love data.
Taco Fall is 58. We'd take Jordan Bone or Taco Fall.
Depends on what I need. Do I need a big?
Well, it's to the Warriors.
They're taking Taco Fall. They don't need a point guard. They got like five guys who can run point.
I don't know that late second-round picks really matter with what you need. I think they are trying to pick the upside guy for down the road. So, that kind of helps Bone. Could be good. We'll come back. Final segment of Hour 2 next. Final segment, Hour number 2, Friday edition of 3 and Out. I'll tell you what, it is nice having some Tennessee flavor in the NBA Combine. I can't wait till the NFL Combine. We're like, oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy. We got that a little bit.
When is that going to happen?
I don't know.
Elijah Simmons.
Oh.
You got at least 3 years, think of.
It's true.
Hell, Rick Barnes may need to steal Elijah Simmons.
I was wondering Jordan Bone could have been on the football team. You know,
I was thinking that, too.
He played running back.
Wide
receiver?
Yeah.
That height, yeah.
And that vertical. Are you kidding me? Well, that's apparently the thing. His family sat him down in high school and said, you need to pick one sport. What's it going to be?
Oh, man.
Because apparently he played a little football.
Mm.
But he chose basketball, and that's what he's been focusing on for the last, six, 7 years. But I was thinking the same thing. I was like, could you imagine Jordan Bone with these numbers playing wide receiver? Those hands? He'd be a freak. An absolute animal. What is he, 6'3 and a half? Is that what he's listed at officially? 6'3 or 6'2 and a half without shoes?
Yeah, that was like the without shoes. So at first, I kind of.
You pat 40'd it?
Well, no, because I mentioned what I was reading, that it was without shoes. And then it's weird. So on the NBA site, they only list the without shoes, they don't list the with shoes. But once you click on the players, then you can see the with shoes. So it's a little confusing there, but with here I'll sort them by height here real quick. So with shoes, Jordan Bone was 6'2¾", and they list him at 6'3".
Okay,
so Tennessee had Jordan Bone right on it. I mean, within a quarter of an inch. Pat 40, moron.
Well, surely we'll know something about Grant tomorrow, right? Whether he announces it or it just kind of starts leaking after he tells some people, we should know at some point. Because I guess yesterday was the testing and the scrimmage. And does he scrimmage again today and then he'll meet with teams, or is he just meeting with teams today?
To me, it almost looks like his last, like yesterday was his only scrimmage because Schofield's team didn't get on the court yesterday.
So today they'll probably flip-flop and he'll just go meet with GM scouts. Think, okay, right. That makes more sense.
Yeah, they're only scrimmage on one day. It flip-flops, I guess. I'm just learning so much about the NBA combine. I didn't even know they had a combine a few years ago.
And I guess Williams and Bone will do their shooting percentages today.
Okay, that's why they're not listed at all. So we you got to think on the moving 15-foot shooting percentage. I mean, if anybody's going to old school, you know, that drill and just knock it out of the park, it's going to be our elbow jump shooting gurus, right?
I would think so. That is Tennessee's favorite shot. I mean, when I was breaking down the Cam Hua film and he hit that elbow jumper, I was like, love that shot at Tennessee. Big fan of the shot.
I'm surprised that Rick Barnes just doesn't run the old flex offense. So you get that elbow jumper anytime you want it, basically.
Maybe that's in the cards for developing the offense into year five.
I mean, we did used to run that one place I coached and called it Clemson, if that tells you anything. I mean, we'll talk about some old school offense. Old elbow jumper on the pin down.
We were good at it.
We were. And I think you'll see Bowden continue to look for it. No one hits it better than I think Bowden shot it better than Bone. I mean, like,
I'd love to see the percentage, but yeah, both those guys, it was almost automatic.
When Bowden can turn and not think, like you said, just jump up and flail, in any flail contorted the legs, way possible,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
He's knocking that down.
He's not a set shooter, Bowden. He's a wacky shooter. Need crazy things to happen, and that's how he hits his shots.
Well, I assume we're not going to talk too much NBA playoffs on today's show, so I have like just a couple minutes here. How about the Warriors? 114-111. Because I'm thinking,
getting it done, man.
No one shoots the elbow jumper in the NBA at all anymore. The seven-footers, it's all about hitting the three. Unfortunately, this game tipped off at 9 o'clock, so I went to bed at halftime. And at that point, I think the Warriors were down 17.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Steve Kerr, however, did say that the Durant injury is, quote, more serious than we thought. So might not see him at all this series.
Yeah, he's out the next two games for sure.
Going to be interesting. You know, what happens in Portland?
What if he's out for the finals?
No. I don't think
you're Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes! No, no, you don't get to celebrate that because your championship is happening this round.
That's true.
You do not get to then change your goals.
It's fine.
No chance.
I don't care.
You're terrible.
Because if they are in the finals,
that would be such a hollow championship.
I'll already be a champion.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. See? Good to go.
Butch Jones. Butch Hodges over here.
Milwaukee plays again tonight at home. TNT, 8:30.
Oh, good. You'll get to watch some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
That series has been, well, I don't know. Last night was exciting, I guess. The Warriors' big comeback.
Yeah, people did not like the first game.
Oh, it was so boring.
Snooze fest. But, yeah, last night was good. Warriors proven they don't necessarily need Durant, at least to get by Portland. But surely, well, I don't know. We'll see who comes out of the
Since
East.
Since Durant's been at Golden State, they have a better winning percentage when he's not on the court.
Oh, they've now won 29 of 30 when Steph plays. Maybe it's the last 30, but they've won 29 of 30 when Durant is out and Curry plays.
That's incredible.
So I mean, really without is. Durant and Boogie Cousins, they're still...
is Steph Curry somehow underrated?
Yeah. It's because he doesn't look like...
Jordan and LeBron?
Yeah, and he doesn't look. He didn't even look, you know, like Westbrook, and he doesn't. Mm. Maybe it's even Harden, but I think it's the face. I think it's because he looks so young. Face. People, yeah, they just assume, oh yeah, he's just this little kid out there shooting. He's a great athlete. He's a great player. He just doesn't get the credit because he just doesn't fit the mold. He doesn't look like everybody else. I think Klay Thompson's the same way. Klay Thompson's unbelievable.
Yeah,
but he's just kind of this normal looking guy.
Well, he plays great defense too. No one ever says anything.
Well, it's
yeah.
the NBA. No
Who
one
cares?
Ever gives defensive credit unless you're just blocking shots out of the arena.
In other kind of side stories here that we have, you know, we'll hit for 30 seconds and move on. Last night the Bruins swept the Hurricanes, so four straight games. they're into the Stanley Cup Finals. The Sharks and Blues, Stanley Cup Final. Sharks and
they
Blues.
They get mad if you add the S in hockey.
True. Even though it's multiple games.
I know, it doesn't make any sense. I'm just don't want you to get in trouble.
Sharks and Blues, though, that series has been insane already. I didn't see all the controversy, but apparently there's something that could have even that it seemed like a goaltending type of thing. It was a situation where if it could have been reviewed, it would have been obvious that they made the wrong call.
I heard about that.
But it couldn't be reviewed. Right. And so the Sharks won game 2 in overtime, and the Blues are livid. They're now down 2-1, but tonight's game is back in St. Louis. And this series has just been nuts already, so that should be fun. It's Sharks lead the series 2-1, but are playing game 4 in St. Louis as the Blues trying to even it up. So the Western Conference Finals, is it Western Conference Finals or Western Conference Final?
Finals.
But the Stanley Cup Final, because there's only one of it. Eastern Conference Finals and Western Conference Finals, because there's multiple conference finals, but there's only one Stanley Cup
this
final.
This is not my wheelhouse, buddy.
All right.
Not my wheelhouse.
That Johannes whatever hockey guru listener, tweet us and let us know. I'm sure he's right on it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's there's your NHL minute and your NBA minute, and we'll kick off hour number 3, shift gears a little bit, bounce around, and have some fun here. Final hour of the week for us coming back at you right here next on Fan Run Radio.